Chapter 3. Days later, and they gathered in the palace again. The chambers they had been given were capacious but bland, used for housing any number of dignitaries at the hub of imperial power, and so stripped of any ostentatious signs of particular allegiance. The floors were polished wood, the walls scoured sandstone. From below and above and around them came the layered hums of constant activity, the grind and hammer of machine tools and tramping boots. There was never any rest within the palace, never any respite from the churn, churn, churn of constant preparation. A ship left for the void every second, another arrived to take its place. It was the greatest movement of personnel and equipment in humanity's history. Nothing before had come close, and most believed nothing would ever come close again. Yusugai paced around the chamber's perimeter, peering through the windows as the sun set. The sky was crisscrossed with contrails, lit up by floating defense stations on heavy grav plates and pierced by the twinkle of a billion spirelights. Gearhan was seated in one of the low plains chairs they had brought down from their ship, christened the Chinza, a year ago after its delivery from the Martian Legion Reserve. The Khan sat poking unenthusiastically at a dish of broiled meat. The palace kitchens had endeavoured to produce something approximating Trigorian food, but it wasn't easy to match the remorseless diet of flesh and fermented dairy products that fueled the warrior clans of the Altak. A chime sounded in the corridor outside, and Hasik entered. The Lord Commander of the Fifth Legion bowed to his Primarch, then raised a quizzical eyebrow at the food.
"Oh, you have it," the Khan said, sliding the bowl towards him. "How goes the work?"
Hasik sat down, took a spoon, and dutifully made inroads into the stew.
"They're tough,"
he said, chewing.
"Skilled. Disciplined. Everything you'll want. But... solid."
Hasik snorted a laugh.
"Never seen one smile."
He swallowed.
"Some things I've learned. This legion is machine-heavy. They go to war in transports and rely on the armour to get them in close. After that, the infantry tactics are standard. Remember the Kuo battalions at Sha'ang, with the armoured Faduin? That's what they remind me of."
The Khan looked at him with heavy eyes.
"Can they be led?"
"Of course they can be led," interjected Yusugai,
standing on the far side of the chamber.
"They have been led for 80 years already, and conquered more worlds than we ever conquered nations."
"Ah, yeah,"
said Gearhan idly.
"What use is that to us?"
"I need to know if they can be moulded," said the Khan, sitting back in his low-slung planes chair. "It will be years before our own kind enter this legion. Even then, they're already changing. No child of Altak ever saw a starship before we did. Now, one hovers over the Khum Kata every week. What does that do to them?"
Yusugai turned to face them.
"It changes everything. Their minds are opening up. That is what he wants. It is why he does this."
Hasik swallowed again, then pushed the bowl away.
"It can be done,"
he said, wiping his mouth with the back of his hand.
"Just won't be easy. They have city mines. They guard walls." "And the Zajin Aga?" asked the Khan.
Hasik shrugged.
"They don't talk about it."
"Because that is terror to them,"
said Yusugai, walking over to where the others were gathered.
"We were lucky. I have spoken to others. They call it strife or old night. Tell them of powers, and that is what they think of. I have been reading the accounts, the few they salvaged. I can see what they are scared of."
"An empire can't be built on fear,"
said the Khan, looking up at his counsellor sceptically.
"That is why they never speak of it," Yusugai said. "They push it away, pretend it never happened. For now."
The Khan pondered that. As ever, his fingers strayed to his blade, catching at the wound leather of the hilt. He was restive here, caged within walls, placed within walls.
"I know what you counsel," he said.
We are running out of days, Yasuga said. Soon we will be back in the emptiness, and then there will be no more chances.
But what can he tell me that my father did not?
I do not know. But he is only a little less powerful, and is the joint architect of this place.
He is a slave.
Perhaps. I counted myself powerful before I came here. I enjoyed the mastery of the storm. I enjoyed what I could do with it, for you, for the Ordu. But I felt his presence as soon as we entered orbit, and knew that I had felt it already, only in dreams. I have met the Sigilite's people now, and smelled the residual energy on their bodies, like pollen caught on silk. Maybe he is a slave. That may be true. But his power still dwarfs mine. Perhaps it dwarfs everyone else's, save your incomparable father's.
The Khan smiled back, a weary grin that briefly illuminated his features.
I trust you to best him. Anyone, for that matter.
He stretched out his long arms, grimacing as his muscles flexed.
But I don't have the stomach for more argument. Let them order their city here. Best we're free of it.
You can't escape him, Yasugai said. None of you can.
Sure of that?
More than sure.
For a moment, the two of them tested one another, a teasing contest of wills. There could only be one winner, though, and the seer's gaze fell away. He glanced ruefully at Hasik.
Speak to him, brother, Yasugai said. If he will not listen to me...
Hasik laughed.
He never listens to me either.
Geerhan chuckled, toying with the long edge of his dagger.
He listens to Kincha.
Only because Kincha never opens his mouth, replied Hasik. Enough, said the Khan.
He shot Yasugai a sour glance.
I know you, Shaban. You'd wear it at me every hour until the fleet was ready. So I'll do it. I'll speak. I'll let him say his piece and try not to show him the long edge of my talwar when he angers me, which he will. Will that be enough? Will that make you happy?
Yasugai bowed in gratitude.
I will only be happy when we are home again, Kagan.
The Khan snorted and turned away.
Then you'll be waiting a long time, he said.
The woman Nyasta guided him into the fortress. For all her self-assurance, she did not look directly at him, but lowered her damaged eyes whenever there was risk of contact. At first, the Primarch hardly noticed her, but as the long procession wore on, taking them deeper down into the palace's depths, the silence between them became harder to sustain.
It is an honour to accompany you, Lord, she ventured,
as they passed through the last of the courtier-inhabited levels and into colder arteries of hard-delved stone.
I have heard much of your homeworld, and it intrigues me.
1,000 people had told the Khan that. At the start he had found it hard to countenance. Later on he had realised it was only a kind of courtesy, a way of initiating conversation. They no doubt said the same to all visitors from far-flung planets, scattered like jewels across the crumpled fabric of real space. Chogoris was obscure, but far from the most eccentric of worlds. Fenris was more savage, they said, and Colchis more extreme. Barbarous was almost unimaginable. Chogoris didn't intrigue them. Nothing did, save the strata of power and their place within them.
What have you heard, then?
He asked, not greatly interested in the answer. What did keep his attention was the stone around him. It was old, terrifyingly old, sunk into the bedrock long before the spires and domes that now formed the outer profile of the palace were built. He breathed in the musty air, and its flavour reminded him of something far off and semi-forgotten, as if from childhood, except that his childhood had been experienced a long way from terror.
That your warfare is conducted at speed, Nyasta replied. Not just as necessity demands, but as a founding principle. And that is unique. No other legion, not even the Fifth itself under its previous commanders, has adopted that core doctrine. There is an open question as to how well the Legionis Astartes template can accommodate it. After all, the single suit of power armor weighs several tons.
The completeness of the answer surprised him. Perhaps her interest had been more than casual.
How long have you served him? He asked.
My adult lifetime, since he became First Lord.
And when was that?
She turned to smile at him. It was the cool smile of a courtier used to living among those who were more powerful, used to delivering them bad news and remaining alive, massaging egos and assuaging anger.
He is the last, she said. There were once many. Now there is only one. Just as the crusade reaches its apogee, only he remains. One day he too will be just a memory. But not yet. Consider what that means.
But there was no time. They reached a door, a naked slab of rock cut roughly into the face before them, pocked with the ancient marks of the chisel. Nyasta placed her hand against it, and hidden cylinders pulled it open, revealing a softly lit sanctum within. The Khan looked at her a little longer, considering whether to press the question. Nyasta looked up at him, her damaged eyes glistening in the dark, almost as if she were daring him to ask.
There is danger in your soul, he said eventually. Watch where it takes you.
Then he turned away, ducking under a lintel made for human dimensions, and the door slid closed behind him. The chamber was small, less than 10 meters in diameter. Candles had been set into alcoves within the rock, flickering and guttering as eddies of air moved like spectres across the flags. Waiting for him was a grey-skinned ghoul, a living cadaver draped in heavy robes. His claw held a staff, and a cowl obscured his thin, flesh-stretched face. The man's movements were stiff, as if arthritic, and his breathing was a rattle. It was as if the Imperium were governed by the two faces of a single man, one preternaturally healthy, the other irredeemably sick. Perhaps being in the presence of the Emperor for so long did that to a mortal. Perhaps that was what Nyasta had meant about him being the last to survive proximity to that great dark star about which the fate of humanity revolved. Or maybe all the others had simply died of old age. Maybe they had never lived at all, and these were just more Terran lies.
My counselor told me you wished to speak to me, the Khan said, standing before Malkador and folding his arms.
Jagatai, said Malkador the Sigilite,
right hand of the immortal Emperor.
A pity we did not do this earlier. They tell me you will be back in the void within days.
That is what he made me for, is it not?
You could stay longer. Others have. Your brother Vulcan spent many years here, and I came to know him well before he left for Nocturne.
I have already given the order.
The Sigilite nodded.
And that, too, was how we made you.
He limped towards the Primarch, skirting around a long stone sarcophagus and trailing his fingers along the dusty top. Then he drew himself up to his full height, pushed his cowl back from a withered brow, and looked at the Khan carefully.
I never know what we'll see when you come back. All of you surprise us.
And yet you still press on?
Of course. Everything rests on you.
He said the same thing.
Malkador leaned back against the sarcophagus edge, letting his staff rest on the stone.
Do you doubt it?
I don't know. You were strangely careless with your special project.
We could not have expended more care. The power that took you from Terra was beyond imagination.
The Khan remained static, like one of the age-darkened statues that stalk the shadows of that place. He saw rows of them against the far wall, each cowled and bearing a staff, mirror images of the living fossil that addressed him now.
I have conquest in my blood, the Primarch said. I have always hungered for it. Only now I know that you planted that desire there. You made me, as an instrument of your own designs.
We are all instruments.
Except for him.
Oh, no. Very much him.
The sigillite placed his thin hands together.
Listen, I understand the problem. You are monarchs of your worlds, and now we ask you to fight for this one. You were never given the tutelage we had planned, and so the wrench is sudden. If we could postpone the crusade for 100 years in order to prepare you adequately, we would do so. But we cannot, for we race against the closing door of fate. All must be gathered in. But remember this. You are a son of Terra. You were made here.
I was made on Shogoris.
The sigillite smiled.
I should put that keening self-pity behind you if you wish to earn the allegiance of your new army.
The Khan turned on him, unclasping his arms as if he wished to draw his blade.
It is all a lie, he said fervently. Every part of it. We'll be burning their temples and executing their priests in return for 1,000,000 worlds, all as ignorant as beasts. Is that what you wanted?
It is necessary.
We could tell them the truth.
Do not be foolish.
The Khan's lips curled in disgust.
So much contempt for your own species.
Yes, contempt, snapped the sigillite. If you had seen what I have seen, watched what a human may become when left alone in the dark, you would share it.
He collected himself.
You were lucky, Jagatai. Your world was no Caliban. We tell you of old night, and you barely believe us. But that is not how most places were. The lie is noble. It is there to protect, to guard, not to deceive, for they are not ready.
The Khan turned away, stalking further into the shadows. There were other tombs there, smooth with age, the names on the surfaces impossible to read.
I have heard this before, the Primarch said. There were empires on my homeworld that offered freedom to their slave castes, but only when they were ready. That moment, strangely enough, never came. In the end, they had to take it for themselves, to die for it. And even then, there were some who said the day had come too soon.
He looked back at the sigillite.
The truth will come out. You won't be able to hold the blindfold in place, and once it slips, the fury of those you deceived will be limitless.
Malkador nodded.
Which is why we rely on you, on your exceptional power, on your tactical genius. It is not enough to conquer the galaxy. You must conquer it swiftly. Bring all under the rule of the throne before the patterns of fate change and we lose this one chance. I tell you no falsehood when I say that this is everything. All depends on this. We have mere decades remaining. Just the blink of an eye set against eons to accomplish it.
The Khan smiled cynically.
And when all is finished, then we will revisit the lie?
When all is finished.
The Primarch laughed, but there was no mirth in it. He tapped an armored finger idly on the lip of one of the tombs.
I wonder some days why you gave us minds at all. Machines would have given you less grief.
Less grief, surely. Less joy, too.
Malkador sighed and wrapped his cloak tighter around his whip-thin body.
You have found it hard to understand your father. You wish him to be more intelligible. I understand that. But do not be seduced by the scale of his power. He has sacrificed more than any of us, and he does not use it for himself. A man may pursue a single goal and become the master of that endeavor, only to find himself weakened in all other pursuits. The Emperor battles daily with forces beyond understanding. Yet you expect him to retain a mortal sympathy.
The sigillite shook his head.
He walks the paths of eternity. Be thankful he is able to converse with you at all.
The Khan thought on that, staring pensively at the tomb.
"And what is gained?" he said eventually. "If we lose what we are, what victory is that?"
"The only one possible," said Malkador.
"I cannot believe it."
"Then stay. Speak to him again. Listen to what he has to say."
The Khan's eyes never left the tomb. His gaze, sharp as the raptor that had given him his moniker, seemed liable to bore into the granite. A tense silence fell across the chamber, broken only by the dull hum that always came up from the distant foundations, the one that made the earth tremble and the atmosphere feel thicker than soup.
"I suffocate in this place," he said at last. "More words won't change that."
He looked up.
"We already have our destination. The world he chose for us. There are enemies I will gladly slay for you. Perhaps when the hunt is underway and I have prey under my blades, I will see the truth of what you say."
"There is no truth out there that cannot be perceived from here," warned Malkador.
"Then I will have to come back," said the Khan,
already restive, already moving.
"Someday, when the moment is right. Not before."